In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm sure we've all had the experience of coming out of a dark movie theater and into the bright sunshine of outdoors. Oh, that sun is bright, we say. We'd like to retreat back into the darkness. It takes a few seconds for our eyes to get used to the sunlight again. Now, the fact that we've had this experience just after viewing a movie suggests yet another experience that we all have had, a psychological one. And that is simply trying to escape reality for a time, perhaps an hour or two, by watching a movie or television or reading a novel, permitting the eyes of our mind to retreat back into fiction, the shadows of fiction, and to forget the realities of our situation for a time. Now, of course, we can't do that for too long, too often. Real life has a way of impinging upon our dreams. Work and responsibility don't go away, no matter how much we try to escape. But just for a time, anyway, this kind of retreat from reality does have its attractions. Now, in our reading for this morning, the Apostle St. Paul talks about yet another kind of retreat from reality, but related to the experiences that we've been discussing. On the one hand, he refers to the physical experience of eyes confronting a bright appearance. But on the other hand, he also describes a spiritual experience, a flight from the reality of law and gospel. Now, the story of Moses' veil, to which the apostle refers, is recounted in Exodus 34. You probably remember how that goes. When Moses returned from Mount Sinai the second time, with the two tables of the law from God, his face was shining brightly because he had been speaking to the Lord. In other words, the brightness of his appearance was a sign that the words and the law that he was delivering came from God and not from himself. But the people found his appearance so frightening that after Moses had delivered the Lord's message to them, he donned a veil, removing it, however, when he went to speak to the Lord. But why did the people find the brightness of his countenance so disconcerting instead of reassuring? Well, we can imagine that there was just the strangeness of it all. We all feel uncomfortable about things that are odd or unusual, and Moses certainly didn't look like himself. But then again, did he look all that normal in a veil? Hardly. And so this was something more than just an unusual physical appearance, something more than a brightness that might have hurt their eyes. For there was also the message, one which St. Paul calls the ministration of death. For as Moses' face shone with the brightness of the Lord, his voice resounded with the demands of the Lord, demands that the people had already broken in a gross and vile fashion once, and which they would assuredly violate again. Now, who wouldn't want a veil to tame the experience of hearing God's law from one revealed as God's spokesman by the shining of his skin? Indeed, we all make use of veils that protect us from the harshness of God's law, escape mechanisms to avoid the condemnation of the law. And for one thing, it's not all that unusual for us simply to let our minds wander whenever we come to church or chapel. It's as if the signal to start the daydream begins when you enter those doors. And that way, not too much of what's going on here can get through to us. Certainly not the condemnations of the law. But secondly, if we do hear the law, then we are quick to apply it to somebody else. And that's easy to do. The better we know somebody, the better we know their faults. And so whenever we hear a preacher talk about sins and iniquities, we're sure to be acquainted with somebody to whom we can apply these words, other than ourselves, of course. Now, it is true that occasionally we do recognize ourselves in the faults being condemned by the law, but we have still more veils to protect us from these burning condemnations. We call them excuses. I can't help it. I was too tired. It caught me by surprise. I was provoked. You know how it goes. Whatever the situation, we can come up with an excuse, a reason for failing to follow God's word. But such veiling is really no more than an effort to escape from reality. Moses' veil did not change the reality that his skin was shining because he had talked with the Lord. It did not make him any less of a prophet, nor did it reduce the demands of the law. And any excuses that we offer for not listening to the law or for not applying it to ourselves do not change the fact that what God says does apply to us. Now, it is just barely possible that if we go to a movie or read a good book, our situation in life may improve while we are doing so. It's not likely, but it's possible that a legacy will arrive in the mail to pay our bills, or that a professor will cancel a term paper. But trying to hide from the law of God never works. A veil is a flimsy thing, and none of ours can change the underlying reality beneath it of human sin and inadequacy. But there is another and greater reality that our veils are also concealing when we attempt to hide from the law, and that is Christ. You see, it's rather paradoxical that when we try to escape the rigors and the condemnations of the law, we are also fleeing from the only one that can save us from the law, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, in order to pull the sting of the law from the law so that it doesn't condemn us, we have to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. As if to say, the law doesn't condemn me. But if the law does not condemn me, then what need do I have for a Savior? And so the gospel may make for an interesting story. It may actually be of some help to other people, but I don't need it. And I really do not want it if I am already hiding from the law. But now, what a tragic flight from reality this is, to be so blind to your sin that you already miss the Savior. Or to put it another way, to be so content with yourself that you fail to see God reaching out to you with love and forgiveness in Jesus. Now, in the ministry of our Lord, it was the most religious people in the country who remained most ignorant of what the Lord offered. And in this morning's reading, St. Paul singles out those of the synagogue whose hearts were still veiled when Moses was read. They preferred the law, and so they missed Christ to whom that law pointed. But today, it is people like us who are too little appreciative of God's grace because we have so successfully veiled ourselves from God's law. But our flight from reality must cease. Just as when the movie ends, we have to leave the theater, bright sunshine or no. We have to keep our eyes open as we return to our homes and our responsibilities. So too today, God's word is tearing down our excuses. It's letting light in. It's forcing us to confront two basic realities. You need a Savior, and so do I. You have a Savior, and so do I. With unveiled faces, we behold our God in Jesus Christ. Now, apart from him, we could not stand the sight for all his condemnation. But in Christ, all is light, that neither blinds nor hurts. For Christ is not a veil who conceals reality, but he is the image of God, who reveals a heart of forgiveness and love. And that is the true and the living God whom we can only discover in Jesus. So in boldness, let us stand before him with eyes and heart wide open to see and to receive everything that God gives. The people of Israel may have found veils helpful when beholding Moses, but you and I, if we want a God of grace, we need to look at Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.